Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Winnie bellowed. I roused enough to realize that my bed was creaking and shaking like it wanted to throw me off. I'd woken just the same way more than 100 years ago, to death and devastation. With a chill, I thought, earthquake. With my eyes only half opened, I forced myself to sit up, knowing that we had only seconds to reach the safety of the doorframe. That was when I saw a more personal force of nature was trying to demolish my bed. Clad in pajamas and bathrobe, and flinging her arms every which way, my pet, Winnie, was bouncing up and down on the mattress like a jack-in-the-box gone mad. She was making up in energy what she lacked in destructive size and weight. I lunged forward and caught her in midair between my paws. "Stop that! Who asked you to replace my alarm clock?" I glanced groggily at the clock and gave a start. It was before sunrise. I had grown resigned to Winnie invading my apartment at all hours, but this was the first time she'd come in so early. Hatchlings need to learn that there are boundaries they must not cross. But lately I'd been lax about disciplining her. "Humans should never be seen nor heard before the first cup of tea," I said in a voice stern enough to make tigers cower and sharks flee. Winnie, though, simply kicked her feet slowly back and forth as she dangled between my paws.
"But it's Topsy-Turvy Day."
Topsy-Turvy Day was a tradition at Winnie's school, the Spriggs Academy. On that day, the magical and natural students switched places. Naturals was another word for humans in the magical community. Magicals had to stay in their human disguises and use no magic. Naturals had to wear masks of magical creatures and perform simple coin or card tricks. If a magical was caught using magic, or a natural flubbed the trick, the miscreant had to sing the Academy fight song 3 times in a minute, or suffer further penalties. I set her on my bed so I could cover my muzzle politely with a paw as I yawned. "Topsy-Turvy Day was last week. And anyway, that's for Spriggs, not home." She wrapped her arms around my foreleg.
"It was so much fun at school, I thought we'd start holding it here."
Gently, I pushed her aside and began recoiling myself elegantly on my large, round, oh-so-comfortable bed. "You already had plenty of fun yesterday setting off fireworks on Vesuvius." It had seemed like a pleasant thing to do after picnicking on the volcano slopes as we gazed at Naples's sunny bay. How was I supposed to know the pyrotechnics would cause a small panic in the city below? Winnie threw herself on my moving tail, pinning it against the mattress.
"But that was yesterday, and today's today. I want every day to be topsy-turvy from now on."
There was only one way I was going to keep her from attaching herself to me like a barnacle. No wish is perfect, so we'll only celebrate it today. We'll begin at 9. Winnie jutted out her chin like she did when she was driving one of her hard bargains.
8.
She seemed determined to enjoy as much of the day as possible. 8:30, I counted.
"Deal."
Releasing my tail, she clambered over my coiled body and lay down in the empty center of my bed. Before I could tell her to stop treating me like her personal jungle gym, she had curled up against me as if my scales were soft as wool. I should, of course, have picked her up and set her outside. I should have done many things to educate this half-feral creature, but as so often happened, I found myself indulging her. Sheltered within the armored circle of my body, she was already falling asleep. As I listened to her breathing slow and deepen, I was touched by her faith in me to keep her safe. In her brief 10 years, she'd led a hard, stressful life, staying one step ahead of the detectives and lawyers seeking to take her away from her mother and send her to her cold, unfeeling grandfather Jarvis. But those days were gone. My Fluffy, Winnie's great-aunt, had left the mansion and her wealth to Liza, Winnie's mother.